right, welcome to the Rule Breakers and Risk Takers podcast, where we talk all things travel and lifestyle, breaking the rules, taking risks, and having a ball. I'm Maggie.
I'm Sheree.
Welcome to episode 4.
Yay! It's been a while. Sorry, folks.
Sorry, guys. It's
been a bit slack.
I literally listened to a podcast today and it was like, welcome to the Amateur Travel Podcast. This is episode 454. And I was like, holy shit.
What a
way. Yeah, I know. I'm like, you sound not so amateur, Mr. Amateur Travel Podcast guy.
The not so amateur travel podcast.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we could take that title from you, guy.
Well, in our absence, I've been busy getting a little bit of feedback on how I sound while I'm podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I say yeah and a lot.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's probably not going to change.
So, yeah.
I can't help it. It's what I do.
And I've been getting some feedback that I swear a lot from my husband and get fucked.
You can't change us.
It's not going to change anytime soon. I hate to say it. Yeah.
If my I just did it then. So, if my yes drive you crazy.
It's not going to change. Out. Yeah. This podcast is not for you. This is not the podcast you're looking for.
Yeah, it's my thinking words.
That's my brain working.
The noise it makes.
Yeah.
It helps. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And that's it. We're all about being different, aren't we? So we're not going to change to be like every other podcast. That's not the point. That would be defeating the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're no cookie cutters here.
No. No, we're different. That's our whole gamut. That's what we're doing. I don't even know if gamut's the right word, actually, but I'm going to go with it. I should know better than that, but it's late and I've had a couple of ciders.
Yes, we have had some serious issues with our schedules trying to correlate.
Yeah.
The time difference it's only 2 hours, but those 2 hours are just slightly too difficult. It's either too early for me to get up or it's too late for Maggie to be awake.
Exactly.
So this is getting very close to her bedtime.
Yeah, I am a nana. I'd normally be in bed in about half an hour. So.
Yeah. And just for everyone, it's 8 o'clock where Maggie is. So.
Yeah, I am that old. Yep. Except I do have a very exciting pirated movie to watch tonight, and I do not pirate movies, but I missed it at the movies because Joel refused to go and see it with me in gold class when it was only $22. And then the next day when I checked, it was finished. So I was really mad.
What movie?
John Wick 2.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah. Lots of blood and violence, which is just how I like it. So
would have been great to experience in relaxing first class.
Yeah, 100%. With a beer being brought to my table and some fries and whatever else my little heart desired while I watched John Wick make things bloody. Yeah, I was mad. So anyway.
I've never been in gold class.
You never have?
No.
Wow. Next time you're here, whenever the heck that is, I'm going to take you to gold class.
Lovely.
It's
love
amazing.
It. Probably like after Christmas, so let's do it as a New Year thing.
Lock it in. Lock it in, Eddie.
Lock it in.
Excellent.
Lock it in.
All right. Moving along from my nananess and our movie plans. So we've got a couple of shout-outs. We've been running a couple competitions. So as everybody knows, we've got the monthly 40-litre backpack giveaway. So we've given two of those away now.
And from what I hear, Maggie, it's a good month to be named Kate.
Yes. So the backpack winner this month is called Kate. Congratulations, Kate, from Chevron Island in Queensland. And we also gave away a couple of awesome World Traveller watches. And if you don't know what that is, you need to look it up on our page because they're so cute. So it was win one and get one for a friend, tag your mate, say where you want to go to next. And another Kate won that. Yay, Kate from NZ. Yeah, so she's just headed off, I think, to the UK with her other half, and they're heading off on their travels shortly. So it's perfect timing for them. So they'll have their excellent matching watches in black and white.
They'll be able to keep perfect timing as well.
Yes. Yes. Oh, you're so funny. So yeah, good work, Kate, and thank you for being a part of the community. Thanks for entering our competitions. We love giving away free shit, yes. And we love when you love it. So keep watching out, because we're always going to be giving something away, and every month is a different winner. So keep tuned. Stay tuned. Facebook is probably the best place to find out what's happening with those competitions, but you have to join up on the website as well. Sign up to our website community. We don't spam you, we promise. You actually hardly ever get any emails from us, but it's just to let you know what's happened, what's coming up.
We barely podcast, so
and we email even less.
We've got better things to do.
Exactly, and it costs nothing, and we won't spam you, and we also don't sell your details, because we fucking hate that shit, so we're not going to do it to you. It's literally just building an awesome community full of like-minded travelers who enjoy doing things a little differently, or at least reading and hearing about it. So that's what it's
and
all about.
And like giving free shit.
Yeah, we really like giving free shit, because we would like to win free shit, but we never do.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep giving it away because we love it. And then more and more cool stuff's going to come from a few different places soon. So yeah. And also, if you've got a guest you want to dob in for the podcast, or if they don't like being heard on the old iTunes, even for the blog, if you've got someone who's done things a little differently in their travels, we would love to hear about it. So please shoot us an email. You can send it directly to info@rulebreakersandrisktakers.com, or go to the website and you'll find the details there. So or the Facebook page, obviously. So cool. Yeah. And speaking of the website, it's had a little bit of an upgrade, a bit of a facelift.
Great.
Yeah, it's looking, you know, nice and a little bit more easy to navigate. So we're going to keep packing that full of great info when we get time, which obviously is not that often, but we've been doing pretty well. We've got a few blogs going up there now. So trying to give you the best tips, and also just introduce you guys to some really interesting people. I just got another awesome, awesome guest that's going to come up on the blog. Locked in about half an hour ago, but I'm going to keep that under my hat. But she's big on Facebook, so you guys are going to love it.
I don't even know who it is.
No. So Secrets Girl, that's going to happen soon. And she's amazing, and she is big into solo female travel, and that's all I'm going to say. So that's going to be great. But the stuff we've had up recently, we've done six reasons to travel alone. So it's very much from a gender neutral perspective, but you know, there's a little bit in there as well, because we were talking about that on the last podcast. So I thought that's probably a good thing to cover. If you haven't done it and you're thinking about it, or maybe you have never thought about it, there's some really good reasons why you should at least just do it once. You don't have to do it all the time, but you should try it. It's like you should live alone once. You know, everybody should have like 6 months at least of just living by themselves. Traveling alone, same deal. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I'm doing it soon. So.
Yeah. And we're going to have to try and schedule podcasts from the other side of the world. Maybe
I feel
it'll
like
be
it'll
easier.
Be easier.
Yeah.
2 hours time difference.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It'll just be like breakfast time for you. You know what? You won't be working full time, and that's what makes it really hard right now. So.
Yeah. Totally. It's work that gets in the way of it.
Damn work. Yeah. In way
of fun. Which, in saying that, I've actually given my notice at work. I've told them that I'm heading off overseas and going to do different things. Talked a bit about my, you know, volunteer work with refugees. So they're actually great. They took it really well, were really supportive of me.
So good.
Talked about the possibility of putting me on a thing called garden leave. Garden leave. So that's it happens in a lot of sales reps roles, where basically they're scared of you taking their information to the competitors. Because usually when a rep leaves a role, it's to go to another job of a competitor, unless they're, I suppose, being sacked or something like that. It's not likely that they're going to go off, you know, to Europe for 3 or 4 months helping refugees. So, you know, it's a bit of a rarity.
Yeah.
But gardening leave is when they send you home with pay.
Oh.
Which to me sounded friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, they want me to stick around and not go on gardening leave. I guess it's called gardening leave so you can go home and do gardening.
Yeah, interesting.
You're a garden, you're like out in the garden. I don't really know where it comes from, but I really love the sound of it. It sounds pretty and nice and relaxing.
It does sound relaxing. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. But anyways.
Well, that's exciting. It's always super nerve-wracking and super awesome to be quitting a job.
Yeah, it is very nerve-wracking. You don't want to burn bridges and you don't want them to turn around and tell you that you're crap, get the hell out anyway. So they're very happy to have me staying on, which makes me feel like I'm a important part of the team, which is lovely.
That's really nice. That's the best way it can go. Yep. Yay. Cool. Well, that's exciting. We'll come back, I guess, and talk closer to the date as well. We'll have more and more to talk about you planning and what you're doing. Yeah. And
Trying to plan now is hard. I'm cutting things out that I wanted to do, putting things in that I didn't know I wanted to do. It's I'm a bit all over the shop when it comes to trying to plan. And
me
I
just too.
I needed longer. Why didn't I do longer? But finances probably not going to happen. So yeah.
It's usually the way, right? Everybody wants longer. Everybody doesn't plan enough, and everybody doesn't have enough money to stay longer.
I mean, you look at Europe; it's massive. There's so many countries in there that have so much to offer individually. No two countries are the same.
That's it. They're all so different. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't see them all, so I've got to got to really figure that out. So that's where I'm at the moment, is just trying to map out a bit of a track of where to go while also keeping it fairly open to whatever might come up as well, because I don't want to have things booked in, hotels booked in, things like that, when, something might come up. I might meet a group of people on the way that are like, hey, let's go here, or, you know, something might eventuate as well. You know, we sort of talked about, attacks or events taking place. You know, Mother Nature might have a hand in that.
It's important to be flexible. Hey, definitely. And for the fun factor, like you said, like that's a big thing for me. And that's a reason I don't plan much, is because you want to be able to get there and go, actually, I really like this town. I'm going to stay longer. Or
totally,
this is nowhere near as interesting as I thought it was going to be. And I met some people and they're leaving tomorrow and I'm going to go with them. Like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to lock myself into like, this is my plan, this is where I have to go, because how is that, you know, I'm sure whatever happens would be great, but you need to have that flexibility to be able to just go with the flow and do something else that's not part of the plan.
Exactly. And that was one of our tips in the Traveling Alone article, was that you just do go with the flow more when you're by yourself. If you leave that open for yourself to just be able to adjust and sort of roll with the punches, I personally, I find that so much more satisfying. It means that you miss out on some stuff, because, of course, the reason you plan so much, well, I'm not a planner, but the reason people do plan is so that they get to do everything they want to do and they can make sure that they can fit it in. But you're going to miss some stuff if you don't plan. But the things that happen in between, I think, are the most exciting. That sounds really cliched, but I've always found that to be true. It's the stuff that you don't even plan on doing that just happens, that ends up being the best stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%.
I have a funny story about that, actually, but I'll come back to it. It involves Indonesia. As everybody who would have listened to the last episode knows, I was going to Indo for a couple of weeks, just got back, and it was ridiculous. Anyway, I just wanted to mention one other blog that we've done since we were away, which is the top gadgets and gizmos. So that's a handy one. It's just the top five, our top five recommendations. Funnily enough, I included the scrubber washing backpack in that, and you shared it as well. That was independent of each other. So we both love it. That's super handy.
My friend actually sent me that and said, I was thinking of you when I saw this, and I was like, this is amazing.
So good. Yeah. So, if we're lucky, we might give one of those away maybe in the future, because we do think they're so awesome. But what's your number one gadget or gizmo or just thing you have to take with you that you can't live without when you travel?
To be honest, I don't know. I guess my phone is probably the great thing about technology. You can take photos on it.
Maps.
Yeah, maps.
Book
you
hotels.
Know, you download all your offline maps. When you get Wi-Fi, you can contact home, send emails. Book hotels. I think it's just...
How good are smartphones? Yeah. Smartphones are like, my iPhone is my life. I know that's so lame, but I love it.
And, you know, I remember I went to Europe in 2008 with my brother. And I think it was 2008, yeah. And we were looking around for an internet cafe.
Yep.
To try and find somewhere. So in a space of 9 years... Is that right? Have I done the right math there? Yeah, 9 years.
Yeah. I'm the wrong person to ask.
We have gone from internet cafes to be able to send an email home to my mum and say, hey, mum, we're in Paris today. Yesterday we did blah, blah.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we're off to here. To now I'm going to go to Europe and probably the moment I take a photo, I'll be able to find a Wi-Fi hotspot within a couple of minutes and upload that photo to Facebook.
Exactly. Or FaceTime. Or like, I'm at the Eiffel Tower. Hey, have a look for yourself.
Check me out. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I just think how technology has really made travel so much easier, because wherever you are, you're not that far from home. Exactly. You're not that far from your loved ones.
Yeah, and not that far from... Googling things and finding out where a hotel is, and that's it. It's made unplanned travel so much easier, which a lot of people would say it's kind of taken the romance out of it a little bit because it's so easy now. I think there's still places you can go. Even Indonesia, as touristy as it is, was still hard sometimes without a local SIM card. And that, you know, you get into some misadventures because of that, but it just means, I think, yeah, you can argue one way or another against or for technology like that, but I think if it gets more people out there,
argue against it, turn the phone off, leave it in your bag, leave it at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't use it then.
Yeah, horses that's for courses.
Fine if that's how you want to do it.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty as well, is you can leave your Wi-Fi off and completely shut off and not have any of that.
Yeah.
But if you do want to Google to find somewhere to stay that night, you've got the option to do so.
Exactly. And each to their own, absolutely. But I think if it gets more people out traveling to places that they may not have done it before, or if it gets people out there traveling on their own, because for me, you know, I don't want to wait around for someone to go, yeah, I'll come with you. Which is why I'm going to NZ by myself, you know, because it's like, I just want to go. Hey, if anyone wants to tag along, awesome, cool, come along. But I'm booking these tickets right now. And look, NZ's not a hard place to navigate. But in saying that, yeah, if technology gets people, if you've got that with you and that makes you feel like the world's at your fingertips and it helps people travel, then I think I'm all for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm so one of those people that's addicted to Facebook and addicted to their phone. I admit it. Like, my name's Maggie and I'm an iPhone addict. It's been 7 minutes since my last Facebook check. I'm not a person to talk, but I think it's great. I think it makes it easier for especially kids. Like, I don't know about you, but like, we first did our first overseas trip together and we were what was that, 2005? So we were, what, 22?
Yeah.
And And I had no idea when I was a kid that travel would ever be a part of my life, because I just didn't grow up in a family where it was a thing. And there was no such thing as a gap year. God, I wish I'd known about the gap year before I went to uni. My whole life might have been different. Actually, my life, I'm kicking goals, so I shouldn't wish for that. But, like, you know, it's just... I had no idea, you know, and kids these days now are so connected to the rest of the world that, that I think that's a great thing. I think, you know, especially not speaking the language is not so scary now. And, you know, you can look it up on your phone and you could do the same thing with a guidebook. And I did that in South America because Wi-Fi was a bit harder even then get in South America. But, you know, like, it just makes people, especially young people, I think, but... Oh God, old people too. Maybe people like my dad, if he was still around, who hadn't traveled as much as he wanted to, would go, I can do this now. Like, I think that's great. Yeah. You know, anyway, let's stop fucking paying homage to iPhones.
My mum's planning a trip back to Canada. and, you know, she's going to get on there. And I said to her, are you thinking of doing like a tour, like one of those scenic tours?
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I'm pretty sure I can just book it all myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's, and mum works in admin. She's very computer savvy.
Mm.
So she can get in there and she finds such joy in planning where they're going to stay, where, you know, everything they're going to do. So
awesome.
You know, it definitely has really helped in that sense.
It's not just for the young folk.
No, absolutely not.
Your mum's young at heart anyway, but
yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's enough love for the iPhone and technology. But my one thing I can't live without now, and I would not have said this 5 years ago, I never thought I would be one of these people, is my Kobo, my e-reader. I can't live without it now. I read that thing every night. And look, I have a bookshelf literally overflowing with books.
Yeah, she does.
And I love the smell of books and I love holding a book. But when you're traveling, that is so impractical, especially if you read a lot like I do. Like I read slowly, but I read constantly. If you take one book with you and you finish it, and if you're like me, you can't even go to sleep without reading a book. Like you need a book. So it's revolutionized my life. My friend Emma put me onto it because she's a bit of an early adopter when it comes to stuff like that. And I was like, no. I don't want to read on a screen. That's bonkers. Like I'll just take my books. And then I really thought about it. I was heading somewhere. I can't remember where I was going, but it was probably a work trip. And I was like, I've got too much weight in my bag and my handbag. I just need to be able to take something small. And so Joel bought me my first e-reader and it was a Kobo, not a Kindle. Kindle's awesome. And I love Amazon and my book's on Amazon. So of course I love Amazon, but I got a Kobo because you can download library books on your Kobo. So the form, at least from Gold Coast libraries, but I think all Australian libraries are the same, that the format they're in. I mean, if you're using a Kindle, you have to buy Amazon books, Kindle books, right? If you're on Kobo, you can read like EPUB. And anyway, the format that they use to download library books, you can only do it on Kobo. So that's why I've got one. So if you know your library number off by heart like I do, get a Kobo.
What a nerd.
It's so nerdy. Super nerdy. I make no apologies. But Kobo's awesome for that. So you can take your library books with you. You still get them for 2 weeks like you would with your hard copy. You can even dodge the system a little bit and roll back the clock on your Kobo and you can extend your loan period by doing that.
That's a good little trick.
That's my hack. We are about breaking the rules, right? So turn your Wi-Fi off on your Kobo, roll the clock back, and then Bob's your uncle. Your book goes back to the start of its loan period. Woo! So
that's a great tip.
That's a nerd hack right there, that is.
That's a total nerd hack.
And I'm sorry, Gold Coast Libraries, but you're giving it to me for free anyway, and I'm not keeping it. I'm returning it. I just needed a little bit longer to read it because I'm a slow reader, okay? What? Like, I can't help it. Are you going to discriminate because I'm a little disabled in the reading department? Like, come on. So
how can one person read an electronic copy of the book?
Yeah, they only have a limited number with their license. So
okay.
So they might have, say, five licenses for one book. So if they're all checked out at the same time until that person's loan has officially checked back in. So, look, I'm not sure in the back end how it works. I think if my loan ends on the 15th, then Joe Blow can loan it on the 16th, whether or not I've hacked my Kobo.
I'm pretty
sure that doesn't make a difference because you don't physically return an ebook, right, obviously. It's just that your Kobo says, you know, your time's up. Bah, bah. So you're not hurting anyone. And look, to be honest, I'm not a pirate movie person often either, like actually at all.
I wouldn't. Look at you.
Yeah.
Pirate movie.
Yeah. I didn't do it. Someone sent it to me, but.
Come on. What's next? You're going to kick a puppy?
Yeah, I'm going to start robbing banks, y'all. She's going crazy. She's fucking stealing library books. And yeah. So anyway. Yeah, but to be honest, though, like of those readers that I do borrow and really enjoy, I then go and buy the ebook. Like I'll buy it. You know, it's just that I read so much that I like to test it a little first and download, you know, 10 ebooks and then go, 8 of those were crap, so I'm not going to buy them, you know. So anyway, we've talked about books enough. Moving on. So, and my nerdness and my thieving, my thievery of digital materials. I'm sorry.
Such a rule breaker.
You know what? If people want to pirate my book, fucking go for it. I would be so flattered if people would actually pirate my book. I'd be like, go for your life.
That means that you're at an ultimate level of popularity, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
You know, because
yep.
it's something that people want, mm-hmm. but the price tag is too high.
Yep.
So that will find a way to steal that shit.
Yep. And look, if you think the price tag is too high, you're really cheap, because it's not. Especially if you go, hey, it's special for Rule Breakers. If you sign up, you can get it for $3.99. No, I think it's $2.99 on our website, and it's like $7 on Amazon for the e-version. So it's even cheaper if you join the community, yo. But hey, go ahead and pirate it. I would be more than happy. I'd just like to have the figures on how many pirated copies have been downloaded, so I could be like, woo, 100.
If you pirate it, just send Maggie a quick message to yeah. say, hey, just pirated your book
yep.
off Amazon.
And look, you might be worried about the international police coming down on your ass. You. Yeah. If you're worried that you're going to go to prison for putting it, you know, now that they're hacking all of our phones, you could use a code. You could be like, hey, Maggie, really enjoyed your book, Penguins. I don't know. And that would mean I fucking pirated that shit. But you didn't say it in writing. So, you know, the FBI and all those international MI6 isn't going to come down on your ass. Totally. Use a code, penguins, yeah. penguins. Say, I like penguins at the end of your message and I'll know you pirated it and I'll be really happy. And you, no, the police are none the wiser. There you go, folks.
And just don't mention Game of Thrones, because I think that's their target.
Right yeah, now. Don't say any Game of Thrones. Just say, I enjoy a penguin every now and again. Yeah. All right, anyway.
But the other reason that the FBI might be chasing that person.
Make up your own code. I don't know.
Shut up, there's penguins everywhere in this person's house.
I don't know what made me think of penguins, but anyway. All right, so moving along. I just got back from Indo. Woo! Some crazy shit happened, the craziest of which I'll save for the end. But we did some fun stuff. Look, I got to be totally honest, 100%, like, full disclosure, I don't like Bali. I'm not a fan, and that just kind of reaffirmed it for me. But I know people that love it. But also, like, a girlfriend of mine loves Bali, but she's a big surfer, her and her husband. And they don't go to Kuta or anywhere like that. They just go to their one spot near Uluwatu where they surf, and that's all they do the whole time they're there. So she loves it for that reason, because it's a cheap place to go and have a bit of a surf that's not Australia. I mean, we've got some of the best surfing in the world, but if you want a holiday, great, you know.
Totally.
But, yeah, look, I'm not a huge fan of Bali, and I have to say, you know, we did the Kuta thing because both of the friends who met me there hadn't been to Bali before. So we needed to stay a bit central. They wanted to check out the shopping and all that stuff, and totally legit, I get that. I think I was a lot more patient with the vendors than when we were there.
Last time.
Yeah, I was swearing at people by the end of it. And, well, as if I would ever swear. but I was really getting it. But you know what? Back when we went, people would grab you. Like, women would grab you by the hands and say, do your nails, braid your hair. And they would physically.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. I think. I didn't get grabbed by anybody the whole time. And I spent more time probably in Central Kuta than we did. And like walking around the streets anyway. And I didn't get grabbed at all. And so, but it was still constant. And I understand people are just trying to make a living. And I get that. I totally get that. But it's just exhausting. It's not my cup of tea. I find it really painful that you can't walk down the street without, like, we're walking down the one-way street down the Esplanade in the other direction of the traffic, and taxis will still stop and go, transport, transport. I'm like, you're going the fucking other way. Like, how the fuck are you going to give me a lift? Like, you know, so that kind of shit, it just, because I, you know what it is though? I think it's just a terminal politeness in the need to reply to everyone that calls out to you. I just feel like I have to. I don't like ignoring people. It's kind of sounds counterintuitive because I get pissed off, but at the same time I don't want to be rude. And I didn't swear at anybody. I had one guy swear at me, though, because I wouldn't pay the price that he wanted for this piece of shit fucking purse that I wanted to buy. And I just said no. And I was so polite to him, and I said, look, this is all I'm going to spend because I don't really need this and that's all I want to pay. So I said, look, if you can't sell it to me for that, if that's just below your minimum, then it's fine. I just won't buy it. I'm like, that's cool. I'm not going to try and cheat you out of lunch, dude. Like, yeah. If you can't sell it to me for that, I won't buy it. And he's like, he started swearing at me. He was pissed off. But he was the only person that was rude the entire time that I was there. So that's one thing I will say. Balinese people are so lovely and so polite. But I do get exhausted by walking down the street and just, you know, not being able to walk literally anywhere without getting called out to. So anyway, look, it's not my cup of tea, but for anyone that's not been there, look, there's cheap shopping, but it's all the same shit. It's all cheap, shitty, same stuff, whatever. But if you want, you know, 75 pairs of fucking fake Nikes, go for it. But, you know, whatever. So we did that. And then I went up to Ubud a few times, actually, and I really – Ubud has changed, and I blame Liz Gilbert of Eat, Pray, Love. As much as Liz, if you're listening, Liz, I fucking love you. I think you're incredible. But fuck, you've ruined Ubud for everybody because everyone fucking goes there now to have a spiritual holiday, and there's yoga barns everywhere. And it's just like, a spiritual yuppie Westerner capital of Bali now. And it's different. It's really different than it used to be. Like, even the rice paddies aren't sacred anymore. It's just there's shops all the way down the street. That wasn't like that when we were there. It's like Kuta, but now in Bali, in the midst of the rice paddies, just with the same stuff. So that was a little disappointing. But I guess that's, you know, in saying that, I'm entirely blaming Liz here, but I'm sure there's more to it. But, like, that's brought the tourist dollar further out of Kuta, right? So that's brought an income to people that they didn't have before. So I'm not trying to be an asshole tourist. Like, you're going to someone else's country. People are just trying to make a living. I totally get that.
That is their main source of income is tourism.
Yep, that's it.
It's where they make most of their money from.
And I absolutely don't begrudge the guy that tried to sell me a piece of shit pair of Bintang shorts for $45 because he just saw me coming in and went, fat white girl, she's got money. I didn't buy it. I got them for $5. I did buy it. I didn't pay $45. But I don't begrudge people that because it's like you've got the money. Like, if I really wanted to spend $45 on a piece of shit pair of shorts, which Joel – excuse me, burping. How rude. Which Joel wanted. Off the cuff, he's like, oh, you know, my mate said you should get me some Bintang shorts. I was like, yeah, cool, cool, cool. But he's a big guy. I'm not saying in terms of a fatty. He plays football kind of guy. Like, you know, he's a big dude. And the Balinese people are not. So trying to find a pair that were big enough was a mission. And then when I finally found a pair, this guy just thought he had me by the short and curlies because he was like trying to sell them to me for so much money. And I'm like, dude, that's like the cost of 3 nights accommodation in some places here. Like, nah, it's just not going to happen. I don't need them that badly. He's got plenty of shorts, you know. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so look, Ubud is different now as well. It's still cooler. It's still a more chill kind of place. They've got a really cool co-working space in Ubud now called Hubud. I don't know if you say it. Like, it's just Ubud with a H in front of it. And it's quite famous now for, you know, people like me, like location independent people who are wanting to travel and work. And you can basically go there. You pay like a monthly fee. It's super cheap. It's like $30 or something a month. And you just basically use their space and use their Wi-Fi. It's unlimited Wi-Fi. They've got a canteen there with, you know, really it's all vegan, I'm pretty sure, because, hello, it's a Ubud. It's full of people wearing yoga pants and wearing their Lululemon. You know, and sell Herbalife online or whatever they do to be digital nomads. But, you know, everyone's just trying to make a buck. It's cool. But, you know, that was my observation. Ubud is a lot more Kuta now, but they sell a lot more dream catchers and less Bintang, you know. So it's true. They're everywhere. So
there's less pubs and more vegan restaurants.
Yep, pretty much. And yoga dens and, yeah, just anyway. But, look, I had a great time. I stayed at a place called the Saran Suites, S-A-R-I-N, like the gas Saran. I don't know if that's how you spell it as well, but I was like, Saran. But it was amazing and it was kind of overlooking this rice paddy right behind the monkey fields. Mucky Forest, sorry. Had an outdoor bathroom. I was on the top floor. It was all made of wood. Like, it was incredible. There's some amazing accommodation in a wood, which is like really cool, really, really cool. And cheap, you know, like you can stay in a place for 10 or 15 bucks a night if you want to, if that's your budget. And but for this place, I mean, it was massive, massive, massive room as well. And, you know, on the top floor, incredible. Of a time, it's quite a small guest house. So there's only, I think, 4 or 5 rooms in it. And I was on the top one. This is when I had a couple of days alone. And I think it was like 65 bucks a night or something, like just ridiculously cheap compared to what you'd pay for something like that in Australia. So, yeah, it's definitely worth going. If you haven't been to Bali before, go to Ubud anyway, because it's different to Kuta, but you're still going to get touts constantly trying to sell you stuff when you walk out the door. It's going to happen. But anyway, look, it's cool. I prefer it to Kuta anyway. But yeah, so I got a bit of Bali belly. I was quite sick, lost a few kilos, not complaining.
Not the best diet in the world,
Not the
but you
best way
know.
to do it, definitely not. I'm all, hey, hashtag body positive. I'm not saying you should try and lose weight by getting Bali belly, don't do it. But
But if
anyway.
you're going to be sick, there should be an upside.
Exactly, that's exactly
Give you a
right.
silver lining.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really, really mentally unhealthy way to look at it, but whatever. I'm not perfect. Fuck off. But anyway, that was our trip. One tragic thing that happened while I was there. So after I dropped Shannon off at the airport, we had this driver called Oscar, whose name definitely wasn't Oscar, because obviously if you're Balinese, your name's Wyan or Made or, you know, one of those. So, but he liked Oscar. He also got my name wrong because Shannon's name, Shannon Jennings, he thought that meant she was Shannon and I was Jennings. So I had him as my driver for like another 3 or 4 times while I was there, for big trips between Ubud and
And
Kuta.
he would say, "How are you, Jennings?"
Yep. And he's like, "It's such a nice name. It's really different." I'm like, "Just roll with it. I'm Jennings. I'm Jennings." And so when I picked up Danny from the airport, I was like, messaged her beforehand. I'm like, "P.S. He's gonna call me Jennings. Just roll with it." So the whole time, and he was the Balinese Bob Marley. Like when you and I went, we got the Balinese John Wayne. If you remember, our driver with his cowboy hat and his cowboy boots and his jeans. And yeah, this guy was the Balinese Bob Marley. No dreadlocks, though, but he was very much all about good vibes. Good vibes, Jennings. Good vibes. It's all good feeling. Good feeling. You know, you give good feeling, you get good feeling. There's lots of that. He was a dude. He was great, actually. But he drove like a fucking bat out of hell. And I thought I was going to die so many times. So, God, I was so scared. So we're heading up to Ubud. We're in like the back country before you get into Ubud, and he's going so fast in the dark, and it's just like, oh, there's fuck. Anyway, there's monkeys everywhere. And then Joel texts me. Anyway, so Knocking on Heaven's Door came on because he was playing Guns N' Roses, which I did appreciate being a Gunners fan. So that came on, and then I got a text message from Joel that said Chris Cornell has just died, and as you know. Listeners, you won't know. Audio Slave's my favorite band of all time. Sorry, Bon Jovi, I love you too. I'd have your babies, but Audio Slave wins. And so I was devastated. So, and then I was scared for my life, and I thought, am I going to die on the same day as Chris Cornell while Knocking on Heaven's Door is playing on the radio? Like, that would be sweet and poetic and fucked up. So,
but no one would know
that
Guns N' Roses was playing.
No. Nobody would know, except Oscar and Jennings. That was tragic. And look, anyway, we'll do a bit of a tribute to Chris Cornell at the end, but very sad, very, very sad. And that's how I found out. So I'll always remember, you know how you remember where you were when like Princess Diana died and just stuff like that happened? I'm always going to remember.
When Dallas happened.
Exactly.
Same
so.
Thing.
Things like that just kind of make you go, even ones that like Princess Di, I remember exactly where I was when that happened, because it just kind of struck me as, oh shit, well that sucks. Like, you know, I don't have any affiliation or fondness per se, and I was really young, but it was just like, oh crap, you remember. So I'll never forget that. All right, so the next thing that happened, the big fucking stupid thing that happened, because I can't travel overseas without dumb shit happening, and it's usually my own fault. So I got bitten by a fucking monkey, and
I told you to stay away from the monkey.
It was 100% my fault, and I was so cocky, like cockily confident to not be scared of the monkeys, because I'm, you know, I'm scared of a lot of things, but I wasn't scared of the monkeys. And I was there with Danny. Shannon was not having a bar of the monkey forest when she was there, so she didn't want to go and see it, and I understand. And Danny was like, yeah, totally. So Danny did, though, and so that's what we did the day after she got there. We went up, Oscar drove us, Jennings and Danny, to the monkey forest, and he even, like, said goodbye and, you know, like, drove off, and then he even stopped the car and jumped out and ran up to us and reminded us to put our water bottles away because he didn't want them getting stolen. He was such a dude. Oh. Like, Oscar, you're such a dude. Danny was really scared that they were going to jump. Well, she wanted them to jump on her, but she was scared they were going to, like, scratch her or bite her or pull her hair or run off with a handbag or whatever. And I was like, don't be silly. You'll be fine. Fucking stop overreacting. It's fine. Let's get some bananas.
Cocky cowboy.
Such a cunt. And so we got the bananas, and I didn't get any because I wasn't concerned with feeding a monkey. I've been there before. I've done it before. You know, like when we were there, one swung off my hair like Tarzan.
I
was like,
learned from that.
Yeah. Well, look, I wasn't actually really interacting with the monkeys. I was just taking some photos. I mostly really just wanted, because Danny wanted to feed one and she wanted to get some good photos. And I was like, you can do it. It'll be fine. You know, giving her all the advice, like, I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I've done this before.
Yeah. You know, like, obviously, you know, keep your stuff all away. And the minute you pull that banana out of your bag, they're going to be all over you. So be ready. I'm like, be sitting where you want to sit, if you want to sit, you know. Be ready, because they'll be, and they will just pinch it off you and run. So if you want a good photo, fucking, you know, get ready. Start posing before you pull it out of your bag. Yeah. And so she got a couple. That was great. Then she wanted to get some more, and she started feeling a bit better about it. And we got some great photos. I even got one. I sat down and one climbed on my lap and started. Those won't be on the internet because I look about 400 pounds heavy. Anyway, but whatevs. And I was wearing a really, really unflattering outfit, and I was super sweaty. And anyway, it's just not going to – it's never going to see the light of day. But then we – yeah, exactly. Of course, she looked fucking fabulous because she's a supermodel, but whatever. And so we went – anyway, we found some other ones. And she was quite scared of the big ones because they're more aggressive, and obviously they're heavier if they jump on you and whatever. So she kept trying to track these two little ones that were really cute, those little babies. And there was a lot of babies at this time of year, so that actually was apparently making the monkeys more aggressive. There was these two little, like, twin baby ones playing around, like wrestling with each other and stuff. Super cute. So she's tried to sit down next to them, but, of course, they fucked off because granddaddy fucking scary monkeys come over. And I'm like, just give him the banana, because he was already heading towards her and she already had it. I'm like, he's going to fucking go apeshit, pun intended, at you if you don't give it to him. So just give it to him. So she did, and he was totally cool, and he just sat next to her, ate his banana, was totally fine. So I was like, yeah, got some good photos of that one too. And then I sat down next to, like, I took her place. She got up, I sat down, because this dude wasn't moving. He was just happy to sit there. So I was like, I'll get some photos. And so this is where it gets dumb. So I've decided, I blame Danny as well because she was totally complicit in this, but I've put my fingers up behind the monkey's head like rabbit ears, right?
Oh, yeah.
So funny, right? And then Danny's like, get closer. So I got in closer right behind this thing's head as he's eating a banana, and it's like he thinks I'm going to try and fucking steal his banana, or he's really offended that I'm doing rabbit ears and taking a photo with him. So that motherfucker bit me, and it was a warning bite because he could have scratched, he could have done so much damage. Like, literally my elbow was right next to his head. And so he bared his teeth at me, which is fucking scary when that is in your face. I never thought I'd be scared of something that was only a foot tall, you know, like that is fucking scary. And so I didn't move because it's like, don't run from something faster than you. And it's like, I don't think that applies to monkeys. I think that's tigers, but like, I was just like, don't move. He grabbed me, bit me on the arm just below the elbow. And I just stayed still. And didn't – oh, and they look you straight in the eye when they're really angry. And there's signs up everywhere saying, like, if a monkey looks you in the eye, you're fucked, basically. Like, I couldn't translate the sign, but I'm pretty sure verbatim that's what it said.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So – and it's true. It looked me straight in the eye, bared its fangs, and then bit me. And I just looked away from it, and then it let go. And then it was still, like, growling at me kind of thing. Wasn't making any noise, but it was doing the fang face. So I put my feet up in front of its face, like I swiveled around on my butt and put my feet in its face. Just so it couldn't bite me anywhere again, like feet, long pants, whatever.
Because I guess it's like ultimately what you should have done is got up and been bigger than it. Because that would have scared him off. But
true, but also sitting, it's got a hold of you.
Pounce up.
Yeah, well, see, look, I saw later on a dude with massive scratches across his neck, and I think what he'd done is ripped a monkey off him. And so I was like, I'm not standing up like while he's biting me because he's just going to hang on tighter.
Yeah, totally.
So I just put my feet up in his face so that I wasn't exposing any other part of my skin, like my arms that were uncovered or my back, and he couldn't like run up after me. Just put my feet in his face until he got bored and walked away, basically. And so I went and washed my arm off, and then we went up to the first aid tent, and it's a tiny little scratch, like it's nothing, but he broke the skin. And so she's put some antis. She's gone, I'll wash your arm. And I said, I've already done that. She went, all right, okay, cool. She just put some Dettol or some shit, like antiseptic, like iodine or something on my arm. And she said, a monkey's very healthy, no rabies. And I was like, fuck, I wasn't even thinking of rabies, but now I am. Cool. But she says it's fine. She works here. It's probably fine. And so I was like, it's cool, whatever. And then, of course, we got all the way back to our hostel, which was half an hour out of Ubud, ages. And I started Googling. And, of course, Google, Dr. Google tells you you're going to die a horrible, mutilated death. So, oh, no, I'm panicking. I'm going to get fucking rabies. And, like, Danny's looking up what the symptoms are and she's messaging her boyfriend and he's telling me I'm going to die and, like, fuck. So, yeah, so I got online and found this 24-hour medical clinic, which was very much aimed at tourists, stupid fucking tourists like me. And so emailed them and got this really excellently worded English reply back within 10 minutes. I shit you not. And they said, we'll come and get you. In our, like, it's a free pickup service. And I'm like, fuck, how much is this visit going to cost if they're coming to get me for free? And so they did. And this fucking, their ambulance rocks up. And it's basically like an ambulance here, probably not quite as big and kitted out, but still an ambulance. So there's a front seat and a passenger seat. And then there's just a bed in the back and this tiny little bench jammed against the wall with no seat belts and my head hitting the roof. So I let Danny sit in the front because she's taller than me. And I was like, should I lie on this bed? Like, this looks really unsafe, me sitting on this bench with no seat belts. Like, my head's crooked against the roof because I'm a giant, obviously. And he's like, looked at me like, why the fuck would you lie down? You're not dying. And I'm like, but it just seems really unsafe. So whatever. So I just sat on the bench, like literally with my head tilted against the roof, just hanging onto the bed in front of me because there's nothing else to hang on to. The half an hour back into town, I'm like, if I died in the fucking ambulance on the way to the fucking medical center, that would just be sweet, poetic, stupid fucking justice, exactly like I deserve.
Just be knocking on heaven's door. Mm-hmm. And
exactly. Yep. I'm going to die in a wood one way or the other.
After being bitten by a monkey.
Yeah, yeah. Just like my life is a sad comedy. Anyway, so we made it. We made it there. And the doctor was a woman and the nurse was a bloke, which I found excellent. And she was fantastic. She was so lovely. And we were just having a good time. And this is weird because I was coming back to like random travel experiences that you don't expect, because we were probably there for an hour while they did all the paperwork and got all the shots ready. I had to have a tetanus shot as well and blah, blah, blah. And so while the nurse man ran around doing all this stuff, and he was super, super sweet as well. And he gave the best injection I've ever had, by the way, and as far as injections go, it was great. It was a good time.
Yeah.
And, she was lovely. And she was like, I can't believe you're not freaking out. Cause we were just joking and chilled. And I was just basically being exactly like I am now, just having a good time.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't believe you're being so chilled out. She's like, people come in here and freak out all the time. And I went, oh, fuck, you got to die something, doc, whatever. Like, you might as well die on holidays. So she just cracked up. We had a really good time just talking to her about stuff, and that's where we saw the guy with a big scratch on his neck. His was a lot worse than mine. And basically they, you know, there's no proven cases of monkeys having rabies in Ubud, in Bali at all. But she also pointed out that their records are not fantastic. So it's just better safe than sorry. And technically, because I didn't pinch this monkey's banana, it counted as unprovoked.
Yeah, of course.
Because giving a monkey the rabbit ears and is not, it doesn't count as provoking it.
Well, that's good. Well, in that sense, technically you weren't asking for it. there.
No, I was being a fucking idiot tourist, but true. So I made the monkey mad. And I look, hey, if I thought someone was trying to steal my food, I'd probably fucking bite him too. So no ill will to the monkey. I get it. I'm like that with food too.
Competitive there as well. Like, yes. There's a shit ton of monkeys.
Exactly. And like she said as well, she's the one who told us about the babies. She said there's a lot of babies at the moment and that makes them more aggressive.
Yeah.
So whether it be protective and also competing for food and whatever else, I don't know. You know, but male animals of many kinds tend to get aggressive when there's babies around.
Because they're not getting as much lady love.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they don't look after the frigging babies. Yeah. And then the blokes still want their bananas and they still want their ladies to, give them some loving. Exactly. And poor mama monkey's a bit tired.
And look, if anybody out there is an animal expert, we apologise if we are getting the facts completely wrong, but that's the way we see it. Anyway, that was actually a good night.
That carries across species.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I actually had a really good time at the doctor's that night. So it certainly beat being bitten by the monkey.
Going back to animals, black bears, the male black bears will actually seek out the female black bears with their cubs and will kill their cubs because the female black bears go into mourning and want to reproduce. Again, to have another baby. So it makes them,
makes them horny.
It's really horrible to think of it that way, but it makes the mamas want to do it. So male bears go and kill the babies to get some action.
That's like in that movie where that chick says, it's like at a funeral, then everybody has sex. I can't remember what that movie is. And the guy's like, no, they don't. But it's like that.
Yeah.
See, like, I thought it was because babies represented competition, like especially if they're male babies.
I think probably in the monkey side of things is that's probably what it is. Because
with lions, that's
the
thing.
I guess too a little bit with the bears, like it's territorial. Yeah. Let's kill off the babies. But that's what it is. Like the mums that will then come on heat earlier because they don't have babies to look after.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And anyway, so... that's a good that, look, we're learning hacks. Things. We're learning things today. We've got illegal travel hacks and nature documentary in the podcast. That's great. All right, so finally, and I want to talk to you about something you wrote for us recently. Because of my rabies schedule, I had to get 4 injections and they had to be on very specific days. We were planning on being in Java on the day for my second shot, and I just couldn't find anywhere online that I could reliably get this shot, because if I didn't get it on that specific day, it was bad news. So we went to Lombok instead because they had a travel clinic there as well. They obviously have a captive audience because they charge me like more than double what they charge me in Ubud. but anyway, we went there. And then the day we got to Lombok, there was a terrorist attack in Java. So it was in Jakarta, which we probably wouldn't have been that far into Java, but it also may have made traveling back that much harder. I don't know. 3 police officers died. And it wasn't much bigger than that, but, thoughts go to their families, obviously. It's awful.
That's, a lot of people injured, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but this ties in very much. Unexpectedly, obviously, then we had the, Manchester was happening at that time, and then very shortly after, the attack in London. So it was kind of just a shitstorm of terror in that couple of weeks. So you brought to us your first blog. Congratulations. Awful topic, but like you. Not an awful topic. Your blog wasn't awful, but like awful reason.
Yeah.
It's like when you see someone at a funeral, you're like, it's so good to see you, but this is a fucked way to see you.
Exactly. It's good to catch up, but.
Yeah, under different circumstances would be nice. But really great blog from you. So anyone who hasn't read it, Cherie wrote a blog called Travel in a Time of Terror, really about. Yeah. How it makes us feel about travel when this kind of shit is going on in the world. So do you want to tell us a little bit more, for anyone who hasn't read it, what that was about?
Yeah, basically a really good friend of mine who I've been friends with for years and years and years, she just sent me a message saying, look, all of this stuff that's happening has got me really concerned about you going overseas.
Yeah.
And it's a concern that a lot of my family have expressed, a lot of friends, you know, and it's something that I've thought about myself, like, oh gosh, you know, and it's even had me thinking about things to go to and not go to when I'm over in Europe.
Yeah, we did the same right after that attack. I went, you know what, I don't know if I want to be in Kuta, like in crowded areas. Yeah. And I went, I hate that I'm thinking like that because I'm not normally someone who would say, let's not go there because I'm scared.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually a huge big music festival, music and arts festival that happens in Budapest in the time that I'm over there. And I was seriously considering going, and I'm also – I don't think it's going to work out timing-wise more than anything. It's just the dates. I'll be a week or so either side. And then there's also a tomato-throwing festival in Spain.
Of course there is.
yeah, which I really – I would love to go to. But, again, I just think timing-wise, it just doesn't work out like a week or so either side. For me, but in saying that, I don't know, I'm staying open to things.
Yeah.
So it could eventuate. I haven't booked tickets for anything, but I know these things are happening and they're huge, big events. They're very publicized. And I do, you know, I feel like it's something that people will be, you know, you look on one hand as something that people are expecting it will happen there, but then also because people are expecting it, it probably won't happen because the element of surprise is gone. So, you know, it's just so hard to know. But basically I just sort of wanted to say in this, because I did Google it and said, you know, what are – I asked Google, you know, what are some tips for traveling safely? Like what's people's opinions on traveling in a time of terror? And really not a lot came up. So I don't know whether people are just not really talking about it in blog forums, or I'm just probably not very good at searching online and didn't find anything. That's probably more likely.
But I think a lot of the news, I think you're right though, a lot of the news is aimed around locals. It's not really travel related. Correct us if we're wrong, people, and if you've been reading stuff about specifically aimed at people traveling. But, you know, you brought up a story in your blog about your ex, Brendan, being in Munich at the time of an attack and him not being a local and not understanding the language, not knowing why people were screaming and running away, you know, not having an internet connection at the time to look it up, you know.
Well, I mean, and even if he did look it up, it was all unfolding.
Yeah, so what could he look up?
There was no point looking it up, you know, like it was all happening. So I could look it up in the aftermath, you know, and see what was going on once I sort of found out that there was something happening. And, you know, and that was very hard to not be able to contact him in that time and for him to not contact anyone as well. So, yeah, that I talk about that in the blog and about how, you know, he was quite out of his element, didn't know what was going on. You know, as far as he knew, there was someone running up the stairs with a gun or a bomb behind these other people that were freaking out because they were running for their lives, and he didn't know which direction to run in, where to go. All of the announcements from any of the police that were around were all in German. So, you know, that these are things that are very real for when you go somewhere and don't speak the language. It adds a whole other element of, you know,
terror.
Fear.
Yeah, 100%.
Of terror, of not knowing, of uncertainty, of, you know, if I run down that street, and it's a city that you don't know, so you don't know what's down that street. Will that take you somewhere to a dead-end street and then you just have to come back again?
Or are you running right into the danger? You don't know.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess one would assume the way that the mass crowds are running is probably the way to go, not against them. That would really be a bad choice. So, and, you know, the key message that I wanted to get across is, you know, not to let the fear win, really, to sit back and say, I'm really scared about what's going on. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because you know, and I say in the story that I don't think it would stop them.
No,
it wouldn't stop the terrorists. It wouldn't stop the crazy people, because I don't believe that a lot of these are actually terror attacks. I think they're extremists and ISIS says, yeah, that was us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like at work when you do something awesome and someone's like, oh, did you do that? I'm like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I read a story actually, and I don't mean to lighten, I don't mean to be light about the subject, but if you don't laugh, you cry. But I read a story that said ISIS claims responsibility for lint on your shirt in the dryer. You know, like they'll claim anything. They will.
Absolutely.
And the way that the media reports it only makes people more scared. And that's exactly the fucking point. You know what? And I have to say, can I get on my soapbox for a minute? We've just hit an hour, but we're going to go a little bit over tonight. But I'm going to get political and switch off if you're not interested, people. But if you... I can't help it because now's the time to say it. And look, this podcast is for us to be ourselves, right? So I'm not going to go on for ages. But what I wanted to say was, and I think a lot of people listening, because we're all travellers, right? We love the world, you know, having travelled, we have more respect for different people than we ever could have had if we'd never travelled. So I'd like to think that most travellers are very open-minded and respectful of other people's cultures and are not turned against, especially Muslims at this time, because hopefully you've met some, hopefully you're friends with some, or hopefully you at least know that you've seen enough different cultures to know that essentially we're all the same. We all love our families. We all want to be safe, you know, and we all want to eat and drink and be merry, you know. That doesn't matter where in the world you go, people care about their loved ones. And you can't claim a whole race of people as evil. That's ridiculous. At its very core, that is absolutely ridiculous. You know, and if anybody, I mean, I'm sure we don't have any fundamentalist Christians listening because they would have been so offended by my language and God knows what else by now anyway, they would have fucked off. But, you know, like, hello, we have short memories. What were the fucking Crusades about? But anyway, let's not get into that. So, you know, like, I'm sure no one listening is like that, but I just wanted to say the point is if you start vilifying a people, you know, like back home in Australia now, we have a large Muslim population, especially in certain areas of the country, and it's really beautiful the way that people came together with the I'll Ride With You campaign when we had some attacks. And if for people who don't know what that was, it was basically saying there were a lot of Muslim Australians who were scared to get on public transport because they were getting abused and they were worried, especially women wearing headscarves, being very obviously Muslim, were really scared just to go out and go to their jobs and go to school. And, you know, and the I'll Ride With You campaign was basically Australians saying, if you don't feel safe, I will ride the train with you. I'll ride the bus with you. I'll give you a lift home, you know, which was amazing. And I like to think that most Australians are like that. But the point is, if we... especially, and I don't mean to hark on about the media, but like if you let that make you scared and then you treat a certain race of people, or Islam's not a race, right? Obviously, like let's not get into that, but you know what I mean. A certain kind of people differently, where do you think terrorism is born? You know, if you're, I'm not claiming to be an expert, but like it doesn't take, it's not rocket science to understand that if you're a 16-year-old Muslim kid living in outer suburbs of Melbourne and people spit on you walking down the street and you're already a teenager who's angsty and confused and doesn't know your place in the world, and you can go to your local imam who is an extremist, for example, and if that person tells you that you're amazing and that God has big plans for you and that, you know, you can fucking get back at the haters, where do you think that is? Where terrorism is fucking born. That is the bedrock of terrorism, is marginalizing people so they have nowhere else to turn but into the arms of people like that. And they will seek out people like that who will make them feel better about the way that they feel, because we're making them feel like that, you know. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. That's my point, you know. Like that's how they win. Hate, that's what
hate,
they want.
Hate breeds hate.
100%, you know, and that's it's fragile. It's fragile kids especially, but, you know, anybody who's feeling marginalized, and that's not where everybody who is a terrorist or an extremist comes from, but that's homegrown terrorism, you know. That's where kids who were born here, who are second, third, fourth generation Australians but happen to be Muslim, who aren't feeling good about the way that they're being treated. And when stuff like this happens, they get a bunch of yobbos walk down the street and tell them to fuck off back where they came from, but they were born in Cronulla. You know, like, it's that's how you make people extreme, because of course they're going to hate you if you treat them like that. You treat people with love and respect and open your arms to people that are different to you and say, you know, we accept you. As a country, we are better than this, and that's how you stop it. You're never going to 100% stop terrorism. It's just not going to happen. And not all terrorists are Muslim. There's Anders Breivik, fucking white as white can be, fucking killing kids. You know, like, just there's crazy people out there that are going to do shit. But don't make more angry, crazy people. End of story. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, I'll make it a, you know, it's a very light likeness, but in Whistler, Australians have a really bad name for being drunken, stupid idiots that leave rubbish and destroy houses. Yeah. And I do not know one single Australian that I was friends with. Mm. Actually, probably one.
On second thoughts.
But there's a lot of Australians in Whistler, and all of the people that I knew there were not like that at all.
Yeah.
But we do have this reputation in Whistler of being like that.
Yeah.
Being drunken idiots that just destroy the town and give the town a bad name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a very low key similarity to make. But you know, people are out there doing the exact same thing to Aussies.
Yeah.
Giving us a bad name.
Painting everyone with the same brush and a few bad eggs giving everyone a bad name. Yeah.
100%. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you know, but yeah, the whole reason of my blog was just to say, look, don't let them win. I don't really like saying that because I think they don't really give a shit either way.
Mm.
But yeah, just don't let the fear win in any part of your life, whether it be, you know, that you want to travel, that you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, just don't let that fear take hold, because once you start letting that fear consume you, then you don't really live your life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what this whole, you know, rule breakers and risk takers is about. Not only travel, but just life in general of living the life that you really want that might not be the norm.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. And like the different side of the same coin is, of course, be careful. Don't be an idiot. And if you are concerned, then do your research.
Yeah, don't go around giving bunny rabbit ears to monkeys.
Yeah, you know.
Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, and go to that concert that you want to go to. No, but yeah, well, no, none taken. I'll own that.
Don't try to hug a monkey while he's eating a banana.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
Exactly. But, you know, yeah, like while you're in Europe as well, you know, registering with Smart Traveller is something everybody should do when they travel. The amount of travel warnings you'll get for the rest of your fucking life from them, even when you're not traveling, is really annoying. But it's a good way to let people know where you're going to be. So the government is aware, because the government needs to know if something, heaven forbid, something was to happen, the government needs to know where you are. So they can account.
And to contact your family.
Exactly.
You can register your emergency contact on there as well.
That's right.
So, you know, if they get word that you are involved in something, they can then let your family know.
Exactly.
Because I couldn't think of anything worse than my mum not knowing how I am or where I am.
Exactly. And it could be the case that you just don't have a phone signal for a day or so, but you were nowhere near. So if you've registered that, then they can mark you off that list and say she was she was in Switzerland that day, not Germany, whatever. I don't know. You know, so look and be safe and take precautions. And if it makes you feel better, look it up and say, look, what is the police presence going to be like at this event? Do I feel safe going? You know, be informed.
And you have to avoid those big events.
Yep. You know, and of course we don't want to say that either, because you should do what you want to do. But look, if you feel unsafe about something, inform yourself, do your research. You know, you're never going to be 100% safe anywhere you go.
And trust your gut.
Yeah,
And they always say it's things you don't do that you regret.
Yeah.
But I also think sometimes too it can open up the doorway to something else amazing.
Yeah.
So you might not go to that I might not go to the festival in Budapest, but I might end up doing something else that's absolutely amazing instead.
Yeah, and you're still going to get out there and do stuff. And I think especially Look, London's got nothing to worry about as far as, you know, money from tourism goes, I'm sure. But when things like that happen in a place like Jakarta, don't not spend your tourist dollars there in a place they really need it, you know. If you wanted to go there, you know, those tourist dollars are probably really important to that place. So the best way that you can support those people is to keep supporting that economy. So if you had a trip planned there, you know, but look, we're not going to give anybody advice other than to say,
no,
you know, look, if you don't feel safe, you don't feel safe. But yeah, but register with Smart Traveler, be informed. You know, if you're going to big events, maybe just check out how comfortable you are with the security situation. And if you don't feel like you can be informed about it, then maybe you do decide not to go to that, but you go to something else awesome, like you said. So we're not giving you advice. Do what you got to do, only to say, don't be afraid to travel, because you will just regret it. You will just regret that you didn't do it. So, yeah, I think that's a good note to end on, and a positive one to end on. We've only gone 10 minutes over, so that's pretty good. So instead of our...
We can still make it to the boarding gate.
Yes, exactly.
The line's just gotten a little bit less now.
And I'll just annoy everybody in the boarding gate area with a tribute to Chris Cornell on the way out. It's going to be played very loudly and very proudly. So thanks for being with us.
Can I say that I just imagine you holding the boombox above your head in the airport?
Everybody picture me doing that and then getting bowled over by security. How did you get in here with a boombox? Yeah, I know. Well, I'm old school. What can I say? And I'm a nerd. All right. Anyway, goodbye to Chris Cornell and goodbye to our audience, but just for now. And thank you for joining us on episode 4, and we'll catch you next time.
I've been Cherie.
I've been Maggie. Catch ya.